Therefore, Johnny was most certainly on hand to face the fearless panel of 5 newspapermen before the television cameras at 7:30 that evening. The developments and charges of the previous day were laid on all over again, with one substantial difference concerning the actual number of communists in the Defense Department. What follows is an excerpt from the record of the telecast. Senator Iselin.
Yesterday morning, I discussed the communists high up in the Defense Department. I stated that I had names of 58 card-carrying members of the Communist Party. Now, I say this. They must be driven out. They must be dragged out into the open from under the protection of the Defense Department.
James F. Ryan, Stamford B.
But you do have the names of 58 actual card-carrying members, absolute communists, who direct the policy of the Department of Defense, actual card-carrying communists?
Senator Iselin.
I do, Jim, yes.
James F. Ryan.
Well, I am just a common man who's got a family and daughters and a job. You mean to say there are 58 actual card-carrying communists in our Defense Department that direct or control our Department of Defense policy or help direct it?
Senator Iselin.
Well, Jim, I don't want to give you or the rest of the American people the reassurance that there are only 58 communists high in the Defense Department. I say I have the names of only 58.
James F. Ryan.
It is my duty to ask this question and face the consequences of asking it later. Is the Secretary of Defense one of the names on that list?
Senator Iselin.
I refuse to answer that question at this time, Jim, and I'm sure you know what I mean.
The program was interrupted for the closing commercial right at that point, and it was an enormous success. As Raymond's mother told Johnny from the very beginning, it wasn't the issue itself so much as the way he could sell it.
Lover, you are marvelous, that's all. Just absolutely goddamn marvelous, she told him after the television show. The way you punched up that stale old material, why, I swear to God, I was beginning to feel real deep indignation myself.
She did not bother him with the confusion that had immediately arisen over the differences in figures she had given him on the 2 days. She was more than satisfied that the ruse had had people arguing all over the country about how many communists there were in the Defense Department, rather than whether there were any there at all. And it didn't interest Johnny anyway whether the true figure was 207 or 58. Until the day she handed him the speech he was to read on the floor of the Senate on April 18th. In that speech, Johnny said there were 82 employees of the Defense Department who ranged from persons whom I consider to be communists down to individuals who were bad risks. On April 25th, Raymond's mother reduced this figure at a press conference that had been called by the press of the nation itself, and not by Johnny's team, at which Johnny announced that he would stand or fall on his ability to prove that there was not just one communist in the Department of Defense, but one who was the top espionage agent of an inimical foreign power within the borders of the United States of America.
Johnny had taken a riding in the Senate cloakroom after he had changed the figures for the second time in the Senate speech, and he was as sore as a pup at having been made to look silly in front of his pals.
When Raymond's mother told him he was to drop the figure to one communist, to one communist from 207 in less than a month, he rebelled bitterly.
What the hell do you keep changing the communist figures for all the time? He asked hotly just before the press conference was to open. It makes me look like a goddamn fool.
You'll be a goddamn fool if you don't go in there and do as you're told. Who the hell are they writing about all over this goddamn country, for Christ's sake?
Raymond's mother asked.
Are you going to come on like a goddamn expert all of a sudden? Like you knew what the hell you were talking about all of a sudden?
Now, come on, hon. I was only...
Shut up, you hear? Now get the hell out there,
she snapped at him. So Senator Iselin had to face a battery of microphones, cameras, and questions as big as ever had been assembled for any president of the United States to say,
I'm willing to stand or fall on this one. If I'm wrong on this one, I think the subcommittee would be justified in not taking any other cases I ever brought up too seriously.
If the scorecard of working communists in the Defense Department seems either tricky or confusing, It is because Raymond's mother chose to make the numbers difficult to follow from day to day, week to week, and month to month, during that launching period when his sensational allegations were winning Johnny headlines throughout the world for two reasons. First, it was consistent with one of Raymond's mother's basic verities, that thinking made Americans' heads hurt, and therefore was to be avoided. Second, the figures were based upon a document that a Secretary of Defense had written some 6 years before to the chairman of a House committee, pointing out that, at the end of World War II, 12,798 government employees who had worked for emergency war agencies had been temporarily transferred to the Defense Department. Then, that a group had been reduced to 4,000, and a recommendation against permanent employment had been made in 286 cases. Of these, 79 had actually been removed from the service. Raymond's mother's subtraction of 79 cases from 286 cases left 207 cases, the number with which she had had Johnny kick off. She had made one other small change. The secretary's actual language had been recommendation against permanent employment, which she had changed to read members of the Communist Party, which Johnny had adjusted to read card-carrying communists. Sometimes it tended to get a little too confusing, until Johnny came at last to refer to it as the numbers game. On one edgy day, when Johnny had been drinking a little before he went on the Senate floor to speak, things got rather out of hand when he began to switch the figures around within the one speech, reported in the Congressional Record for April 10th, in which he spoke of such varying estimates as a very sizable group of active communists in the Defense Department, then referred to vast numbers of communists in the Defense Department. He recalled the figure of 207, then went on to say almost immediately following, I do not believe I mentioned the figure 207 at the Secretary's press conference. I believe I announced it was over 200. He thereupon hastened to claim that I have in my possession the names of 57 communists who are in the Defense Department at present. Then changed that count at once by saying, I know absolutely of one group of approximately 300 communists, certified to the Secretary of Defense in a private communication, who have since been discharged because of communism. And then at last, sweating like a badly conditioned wrestler, he sat down, having thoroughly confused himself. He knew he was going to catch hell when he got home that night, and he did. She turned on him so savagely that, in an effort to defend himself and to keep her from striking him with a blunt object, he demanded that they agree to stay with one goddamn figure he could remember. Raymond's mother realized, then, that she had been taxing him and making his head hurt. So she settled on 57, not only because Johnny would be able to remember it, but because all of the jerks could remember it, too, as it could be linked so easily with the 57 varieties of canned food that had been advertised so well and so steadily for so many years. Within 3 months, Johnny bought Raymond's mother a case of gin for making him the most famous man in the United States. And he was doing just as well all over the world. The whole thing was so successful that within 5 months after his first charges, a Senate committee undertook a special investigation of Johnny, a public investigation that produced over 3 million words of testimony, of which Johnny claimed later on to have produced 1 million of those words himself. Some important individuals refused to tolerate Johnny and said so publicly, and other bodies of elected public servants seemed to disagree with him, but when they came up to it in the end, they equivocated, because by that time Johnny had generated an extraordinary amount of fear, which he beamed directly into the eyes of all who came close to him.